In which case, I think we're ready to move into two items that are interrelated, dealing with disclosure. So let's turn first. We're going to have an update on EFRAG's efforts in this regard. Francoise, are you going to lead off? Or?
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for reshuffling the agenda to allow, Philippe Opoli from EFRAG to arrive up to us. Just to remind you that this project has been run and is being run as a partnership between EFRAG, the ANC, and the UK FRC, the National Standard Setters of France and the UK, and that we are at the stage indeed of analysis of the comments received. This being said, I would like to hand over to Philippe Opoli, who is sitting next to John down this table, and I invite him to make the presentation.
Welcome, and over to you.
Thank you, and Thank you, and good morning. As Francoise said, we issued this paper back in July with our partners, and our invitation to comment ended on the 31st of December, but we let a couple of extra weeks to our constituents to reply. So we I'll present a preliminary feedback today, and it's preliminary in the way that I think the main messages are there, but what we're trying to do right now is to, let's say, count a little bit the voices of who said what. So we're going to present a more complete report at our board in early April. Okay, this is a breakdown of the replies that we received. We had 47 letters, now we have received one or two more. Most of them are from European constituents, but we also had eight replies from outside Europe and 10 global organizations. And you can see the breakdown by type of respondents. And we would have loved to have a few more replies from the users community, but it's always a little bit difficult to engage them. But I think it gives you a good range of positions. Okay, these were the areas where we asked our constituents to provide their feedback. And if we move to the following slide, which is slide number four. The first question we asked was, what is the problem with disclosures today? And in our discussion paper, we had suggested that there were two main areas of improvement. The first being, make sure that relevant and only relevant information is provided in the notes. And the second being, improving the way notes are communicated. So improving the ordering, improving the style, improving the language of the notes to make them more clear. And I would say that, in general, respondents agreed that these are the areas for improvement, although some of the constituents said that the organization and communication part is a secondary issue, and you could just improve it by looking at best practice rather than addressing them in a conceptual project. However, it is important, I think, to note that at least two or three respondents were not completely persuaded that there is an overload problem. And one respondent in particular pointed to academic research that would support the fact that whenever you add information, market reacts positively. So there was this constituent saying we should provide a more robust argument about the problem that there is too much, or there can be too much information in the notes today. Okay, the second question is there a need for a disclosure framework? And in general, respondents were supportive because they noted that sometimes the disclosure requirements in each standard seem to be developed on an ad hoc basis. And so a disclosure framework could be useful in terms of providing a common rationale and a common basis to develop disclosures. Some respondents made the recommendation that the disclosure framework should be part of the conceptual framework and not a separate document. We had not implied that in our paper, but we didn't explicitly said that. So this was the recommendation about including the disclosure because it's so interrelated with the presentation that you cannot look at them in isolation. Another thing we tried to do in the paper was to provide a definition of a purpose of the note, because we thought the moment we want to try to identify what is the relevant information should be included in the note, it is useful to start from describing what the note should achieve. And our proposal was to have that the note should provide a relevant description of items in the primary financial statements and the recognized arrangements, rights, and claims of the entity at the reporting date. In general terms, I would say respondents agreed that a definition of the purpose of the note is useful. They did not necessarily agree with our proposal, but they said it is useful to have a definition. But at this level, I think it's important to point out that a significant number of respondents raised the issue about the scope of the project, because our project was about information included in the notes to the financial statements, and a fairly significant number of respondents said that you cannot solve the issue with disclosure if you only look at the notes. You should have a broader scope of analysis. You should at least look at all the financial reporting, if not all corporate reporting. And if you only look at the notes, you may end up just moving things around the report, but not really solving the issue. In terms of more detailed comment about our proposal about the purpose of the notes, I think that everybody agreed that it should be based on the user's needs. We had provided in our discussion paper a number of categories and indicators that the standard setters could use to guide their judgment about deciding what is the relevant information that we need. In terms of the definition, some people did not like the reference. Well, let's say there were split views about the focus of the note, whether the focus should be more on providing explanation and amplifying the information about items in the financial statements, and other people saying that the focus should be more on enabling users to assess the amount, timing, and certainty of future cash flows. And I think that there was an interesting discussion because it really sounds also with the type of comments that the FASB has been receiving on their own paper on disclosure framework. And while some constituents were arguing that our definition was too much focused on past transaction and did not give enough emphasis to future cash flows, some of the US respondents were making the point that the FASB paper was too much focusing on prediction of future cash flows, and this could include, this could expand the type of information. So you have this clearly attention on this, on this topic. Another comment that we, that a number of respondents made was about the reference to the reporting date, because the reference to reporting date would imply that non-adjusting post-balance sheet events would not be discussed in the notes. And a significant number of constituents thought that this was not a good a good suggestion, so they would suggest to amend the definition in order to include everything until the date the accounts are authorized for issuing in accordance with IS 10. I think the following slide is quite an important part of our discussion paper, because what we tried to do was to analyze whether the current, approach in setting requirements in standards is appropriate or not. Today we have, we're just used to having a list of requirements in each standard for each topic, and some, we have heard a suggestion that this could contribute to create some kind of checklist mentality. So we asked the respondents to say if there was, if they could think of a better alternative in order to set disclosure requirements in the standards. And the message here, I think, is quite mixed, because a majority agreed that there is room for improvement, but then there were split views about what would be the better alternative. with the number of respondents supporting the idea to have clear disclosure objectives at a high level, maybe integrated by some limited number of requirements or maybe illustrative examples. Other people were more in favor of what I would call the tired approach, which was analyzed in the FASB staff paper. And the tired approach is the notion of having a common set of, a core set of disclosure that should be provided by every entity, and then having some kind of expanded set which would be provided on the basis of materiality judgment by each entity. We also had a discussion about the possibility to have differential regimes, so differential disclosure requirements for different types of entity. And here I would say there was a little bit less support, and the support was mostly limited to make a differentiation between publicly accountable entities and non-publicly accountable entities. And there were also a number of comments about making distinct requirements for interim accounts versus annual reports, which is something that we didn't really analyze in detail in our discussion paper while it was more addressed in the FASB paper. But again, I would say on this part, clearly there are split views about what could be the best way to set requirements in the standards. The other big issue is the application of requirement. And I would say there is, again, quite a clear majority of respondents saying that today there is a problem with application of materiality to disclosures. But again, there are different views about what would be the most appropriate way to do about this, because the majority of respondents said that they would welcome some kind of guidance about applying materiality to disclosures, but many were also worried about that any kind of guidance you can come up with may be turned into some kind of checklist. And so they were saying, well, for instance, what we were trying to do in our discussion paper, we provided also indicators that entities could use to assess the materiality of different type of information, and we provided a few examples. And some people liked the indicators, saying, well, this is a good basis to develop some guidance. Some other people were saying, we don't like it, it's a table, people will look at it and start to use it as a checklist. So again, there is agreement of there is an issue, but there is no clear majority on what would be the best solution. But definitely, this is considered to be an issue, if not the main issue. There were also some respondents saying that this is the real issue, so there is nothing really wrong with the requirements in the standard. The problem is just an application problem. And some people saying you don't really need to add guidance or to modify the definition because it's basically a behavioral problem. But of course, at the same time, if it's only a behavioral problem and you do not do anything, it's difficult to change behaviors. So again, definitely a key issue for many constituents, but I don't see a very clear message about what would be the best solution. Maybe the additional analysis we'll be doing will show at least some consistent pattern in replies from different types of constituents. On communication, we had suggested a number of communication principles, which were mostly based, I would say, on previous work by the FRC, especially the cutting clutter document. Respondents agreed that there should be a shift from what they call a simple compliance exercise to an effort to really communicate. We had a specific discussion about ordering of the notes, and we asked constituents, do you think it's better to have a standard order every year, or do you think there should be some kind of hierarchy with the most important information given for that specific period at the start? So, for instance, if I have a major business combination, my note number 2 would be business combination, but next year it could be revenue recognition or it could be something else. And here I would say the majority of replies were in favor of some kind of standardized order, because they thought it was less burdensome for preparers to work with and less burdensome also for users. Some people thought that this was a discussion which was a little bit looking backward, because it's a discussion that is quite important in a paper environment. But now we have technological developments, XBRL, so it's not really important if the information is on page 1 or page 100. So some constituents noted that we should have analyzed a bit more in detail how reporting will be affected by tools like XBRL. At the same time, for instance, there was another idea, which was grouping of information. We made an observation that sometimes you have related information which is scattered in the notes of the financial statements because they impact different items in the balance sheet or in the profit and loss. And some people like the idea that the notes should be organized in order to give all relevant information about a transaction or a group of transactions in the same note without having to look in different parts of the reporting. Finally, a few additional points that were raised by constituents. Well, they said that it would have been useful for us to develop some kind of illustrative example to show how the different proposal in the paper could work. Some people raised the point about considering the cost-benefit balance, and also that we should have looked into the issue of confidentiality of information and how this could change the way requirements are set and applied. Again, there were a number of suggestions that we should have looked more in detail about interim accounts, so specific requirements for interim accounts versus annual reports. And also a suggestion that any kind of disclosure framework should be used not only to develop new standards and requirements in new standards, but also to review existing requirements and existing standards. So there should be also this kind of, say, house cleaning activity made on recurring basis. Okay, I think this gives you pretty much, I think, the feel of the replies we received. Again, when we will have our final statements, you will also be able to see a little bit more in detail who said what. But I think these are really the main messages. And I would say that listening to the discussion at the FASB, I think they're quite consistent with the messages that the FASB received on their paper. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions in terms of what we've heard? René.
Just a question. If we look at the responses that you received, and we had split views, was it possible to group it within the different user groups so that one can see that there are trends developing because users have a different view on what they want out of it? Or was it so split and varied that you can't make that distinction?
That's definitely what we are doing now in our second phase of analysis. The first was just reading different replies and trying to get the feel of the main messages. Now what we are doing is really segmenting the analysis to see if we can find common patterns by type of respondents or by geographical areas. Again, unfortunately, we don't have that many replies from the user community, so we will not have a huge sample of users. But yeah, probably there is a different perspective from preparers tend to be more worried about the sheer volume of information they have to produce. Users tend to be more concerned about the quality of information they're getting, so there's certainly tension in that.
Any other comments? I guess in terms of next steps, you say you will publish your analysis and once you've completed it. Having done that, have you thought further in terms of what use you'll make of the input that you've received?
I think, we have started to think about it. I think it's a bit early to say what we could be doing. Of course, the FASB is thinking that it could issue concept of statement or review their standards. We are not standard setters, so that's not something we could do. I think that what we had in mind when we started this project was really to put the issues on the table and then bring the results, especially to the ISB. There are other activities we could be doing, but I think it's a bit early to discuss them.
That sounds right, that it, and very timely, that it would feed into the ISB project and FASB's as well. So. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, and I appreciate the trouble that you've incurred to get here. Thank you.
Maybe just one. What strikes me again is that the key message is again how to apply materiality and how to ignite behavioral change among the three big parties: the auditors, the preparers themselves, and the regulators. And I think in our own analyses that comes back again and again. We are trying to think about how to do that too, and perhaps Alan can already give some insight in where we stand.
Well, I think that's an excellent segue into the ISB's activities and how these two connect, because I think the goals at the end of the day are